very warm welcome to Sunset Gospel Hour, a service that has been going on for 33 years to the blessing of God's people. And I want to congratulate you here for being here with us. You say, what for? Congratulate? I say, I'm so happy. You are here as part of the Lord's Day worship. Unfortunately, many of our people do not understand the blessing of the Lord's Day. This is the Lord's Day, and where better can you be at this time, at the closing of the Lord's Day, to be in the Lord's house? I do thank those who have been giving me ideas. Frequently asked questions must come from you who ask the questions and who are curious to know the answers. But please, please do not ask very complicated, deep theological topics, because this is not the best place to answer them. So tonight is one of the topics that was asked. Burial or cremation? Do you know that 90% of the dead in Singapore are cremated? I didn't know this until yesterday. It's a sad thing, because surely the population who believe in burial in Singapore is more than 10%. And yet, because, you know why, it's much cheaper. I say, dear friends, do not value our departed loved ones by a few paltry dollars. Just because to bury it costs three times more than to burn. But there are more deeper implications whether to bury or to burn. This paper that has been given out to you, I pray you do not just throw it away, because this is the result of many hours of study and research. So here is, you may call it the essence of chicken. This is the essence. So do please keep it. This is the topic for tonight. Burial or cremation? Is there an answer? What is the biblical answer? Please turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. We're going to read verse 7, telling us the origin of man. Where did we come from? How did we come to be created? Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. This was before the fall of man. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. By dust of the ground, read earth. We are all formed from the earth in the beginning. And God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That is our origin. Not by slow process of chance evolution through millions and billions of years of fictitious years. Now, how did man come to that conclusion? Answer, do you know? How did man guess that his origin was billions of years ago? Can you imagine even 1,000 years ago how things were? Hardly. And then for man to imagine, I say it is a futile and baseless imagination. Now read the next passage of scripture to give us some guideline into how we ought to dispose of our bodies at death. Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. Here is the sentence of pronouncement of God after man's sin. And God said, "In the sweat of thy face, Adam, you will eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of the ground you were taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." All right, that gives us the clue to why not cremation, but burial. There is a very cogent and very strong evidence and instruction on how we should dispose of our bodies when we depart this life. May I remind us all here that death is not the end of the story for us. Please, it's not what we Chinese in Singapore say, "See liao shua liao," no more. It is not so, dear friends. So instead of putting a definitive full stop and say, "That's it," I suggest we use a comma or semicolon. So there is more to come. So it is. Now we are going to see on the OHPs as we go along how we arrive at this burial and not cremate. How to dispose of the dead body? God has shown us in no uncertain terms by instruction according to the scripture that we have read a moment ago, you have come from dust. And the Creator says, when you die and the breath stops, you're going to rot and you go back to the ground. That's it. Secondly, by example and precedent, how God's people, from the very beginning, were buried. No one was cremated, as we shall see as we go along. Burial is God's way for believers. As the Word of God said in Genesis 3:19, "Dust thou art, to dust returneth." You came from dust. The Creator took the earth and formed the first man, and then blew his breath into his nostrils, and it became a living soul. And when that breath is taken away, he dies. And his body returns to the ground. Very logical. Now, I said, by instruction as well as by precedent or example, God then demonstrates to us and records in the Bible so many instances of where God's people, please note this, not everyone, not the offenders, those who break
God's laws flagrantly and proved themselves unworthy, they were burnt. But all that were God's people were buried. Adam, read from the scriptures. Our very first forefather, Adam, was buried. Now the first believer and his whole family, and we read just now from Genesis chapter 23, one whole chapter was given to the transaction, how Abraham came to own that piece of land. The one who was selling said, no, Abraham, I'll give it to you free of charge. Abraham, although he's the first Jew, is not the real Jew. He didn't say, very good, I like it free of charge. No, he says, it is worth money. I will pay you for it. So Abraham buried his wife Sarah. How precious it is that he can go back there from time to time. And what did he do then? The Bible says so. He went there to mourn and weep, because there are ties that are very painful when broken. And some of us here will experience it. But Abraham and his whole family, subsequently we read Abraham himself was buried there. And his sons, all were buried, sons and descendants, not anywhere, but because we have a family plot of burial ground, so they were all buried there. Now, the best example I can quote for you is Moses. Who is not familiar with Moses? I say, in all history, there is no one like Moses, the greatest leader of humanity, never one before, never one afterwards, who led so many people single-handed. Can you? You find it so hard even to lead a group, say, to Kuantan for our family camp. When I think of it, I shudder. I say, we go in by convoy, I said, the maximum is 2 cars. Here is Moses, 2 million people. And single-handedly he led them, how long? 40 years. At the end of 40 years, he died. Now his boss is God. And he came and he buried him. Isn't that a confirmation to all of us here? Please don't let anyone here say, I would like to be cremated. No, it is not the Christian way. Rather, it is the heathen and the pagan way. Now, I give you the last, and if you are not convinced, this must convince you. Our Lord Jesus. Again and again, he informed and warned his disciples, I am here to die for you. I will die for you, but I will rise the third day for you. When the time came, he went. Where? To the cross. And there he paid with his own lifeblood, and he died. Who buried him? Answer, do you know? A secret believer called Joseph. And he came to Pilate and begged from Pilate, will you allow me to take down this man Jesus? He's dead already. Can I take him and bury him? Because I have prepared a place for my own burial, but I'm still alive. But here is a worthy man. Jesus was buried by Joseph of Arimathea. So So don't forget this. God showed us by word of instruction, as well as by all these instances of real men and women of God who were buried. So the believer's way is burial, no other way. You may quote many instances of Christians who chose to be cremated. Yes, my father and mother-in-law, because they belonged to a liberal church, they were advised, why not? Cleaner, cheaper, better. I said, dear friends, we don't go by the Bible and God's way. It's not to say cleaner. What is cleaner? You think it's clean? It's not clean. Just because it is hot and burned up, you think it's clean? It's not clean. It's very dirty inside there. And then it's cheaper. I said, hey, if you have to pay rental or to buy a car, you don't say, hey, I cannot afford the COE, I don't buy a car. Here it is, to bury your loved one because it is $900. Wow, poor Louis, cannot afford it. No, but it is something worthwhile, something that is God honoring. So it is the believer's way. Now, more important is the death of believers, as I said to you a moment ago, is only a semicolon, a comma. There is something more important coming ahead for us. Do you know this? Read and turn to your Bible in John's Gospel, chapter 5. John's Gospel, chapter 5. Here the Lord Himself speaks to us. John's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. So this will put all doubts to rest right away. Verse 28, the Lord Jesus says, marvel not at this. I'm reading from John's Gospel, chapter 5. The Gospel according to John, chapter 5. The words of the Lord Jesus in verses 28 and 29. Jesus says to you, don't marvel at this. For the hour is coming in which all that in the grave shall hear His voice. Whose voice? Jesus' voice. When He calls, they will all come out of the grave, even as we read in the case of Lazarus in the town of Bethany. Do you remember the story of Lazarus? The two sisters were heartbroken. Jesus, Lord, why did you come so late? Why did you come earlier? He's dead 4 days, and he smells. The Word of God says Jesus purposely delayed in order that there will be a miracle of resurrection to be demonstrated. Now here is something else that applies to you and to me. Marvel not, verse 28 again. The hour is coming in which they that are in the graves, those who are dying who are dead and whose bodies have dissolved away probably, shall hear my voice. Verse 29. And hearing the voice shall come forth they that have done good unto resurrection of life, they that have not done good but evil to the resurrection of damnation.
So here we are instructed of two resurrections. Death is not the end. Please understand. That's why we must come to the Lord for the way of life, the gospel, the good news. That Jesus gives us the life beyond death, so that you have a part in the first of the two resurrections. There are two resurrections coming. One and two. The one, first one is for believers. And I pray that you will be resurrected at the first call. If not, it is very sad because you will answer the second call, which is 1,000 years later. Please understand, I'm not telling you fairy tales. This is what the Lord Jesus says. I read to you again. Marvel not, verse 28. The time is coming in the which they that are in the graves shall hear my voice and shall come forth in two sessions, two groups. Please make sure you come out in the first group. Because if you don't, you come up with the second group. It is a very, very sorrowful and regretful event. You must not be part of that resurrection. Why? Because it is called the resurrection of damnation. Waken up, given a life that you can come forth to face judgment and punishment. No good. You say, why is God so bad to me? Dear friends, the gospel is now. You hear it, receive it, be grateful, and then when you expire, be buried. When Jesus calls, at the first call, you come out right away. Who says so? He says so. Because you have believed in Him, your sins are forgiven, you will come out. His voice will call you and you will come out right away. I pray that that applies to all of us here. So death is not the end, please understand. Death is sleep for believers. And all of us will lie in our graves, awaiting the trumpet call of God and have a part in the first resurrection. Don't say, never mind, I wait 1,000 years. I say, no, never mind. When you come out, it is terrible, terrible, because it is the great white throne of God. You know what is great white throne? You read it in Revelation chapter 21. Read it there. All right. Now, for us, this is what you should help hope for and aim for and be assured of. The first resurrection is called the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema. Yes, this is a Greek term. It refers to a judgment place that was available all the time for the magistrates to try people. We will all appear before God for the judgment for you. And then those of us who have put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ will be invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelation 19 verse 9. If you want to know the reference, it is Revelation 19:9. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. You will be invited, and that is the best thing that can ever happen to you. And then you will enjoy the millennial reign of Christ
Revelation chapter 20, read there. And you will reign with Christ. Today's politicians, you know, a friend of mine said, I met so-and-so, one of the ministers of days gone by. And you know what he told me? Hey, young man, he says, don't you look at me and hope and wish to be a politician. I tell you, it is no good. Who says so? Politician. Why? He says, we don't play clean, all dirty business there. So you think it's so good? No. Come and be a servant of the Lord Jesus, and then you will be invited on that day to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus Christ will be united with His church, the bride of Christ, and Christ Himself will be at the marriage supper. Will you be there? Revelation 19:9 tells you, after that, you'll be alive forevermore. Behind you, the burial and all that it entails is forgotten, no more. Now, where does cremation come in? Cremation is for unbelievers, please. Which tells you something. 90% of the people of Singapore who die are cremated. This is out of internet, please. So it is genuine. Those who are under God's wrath, they are cremated. God, in administering justice over His people, all those who offended terribly, major offenses, they were sent to be burned. Also, the Hindus and Buddhists, have you ever seen an open-air cremation? Have you ever seen? I went there to watch because he was my old teacher in Kanan Kerbau KK Hospital. And his eldest son had to light the match. And they poured over him all the ghee. You know what is ghee? I don't know. Oil of animals. So that he can burn faster. And as he burned, you see it is clean. He watched, there is not clean. Hindus and Buddhists, Greeks and Romans, this is in history. I'm not inventing, I'm telling you history. And today is a popular trend. How popular? I told you, is 90% versus 10%. Who are the ones who choose? Atheists, secular humanists. They say, we came from by chance. Well, just burn us up. Who cares? It is the way of the world. Do not choose to be burned. Now, let me tell you who are burned in the Bible. Those who are the objects of God's wrath, special wrath, when the people of Israel lost the battle. Joshua was puzzled. Why should he lose? God is with us. There must be someone in the camp. One of the Israelites has offended God. And so they checked through the families by families, one by one, and found the offender called Achan. Not Achan, Achan. And they found that he stole things and kept in his tent. And they asked him, Achan, did you do this? Yes. He had no choice but to confess. And he, his wife, family, including all his animals, cows and donkeys. Everybody was taken and what? Stoned to death and then burned. How sad it is. How sad. Second instance in the record in the Bible is a man who marries a woman and also takes a mother and marries both. This kind of immorality is intolerable. God says, stone them and burn them. Other cases of great immorality, such as a priest's daughter becomes a prostitute. That is intolerable. I say, we who serve the Lord, be very sure you serve Him with clean hands and pure hearts. How can believers also choose to be burned? Because burning is a sign of God's disapproval. Because God hates these people so much that He says, stone them, burn them. I said, don't choose to be burned, please don't. All right, just to revise with you, burning with fire is always associated with God's judgment and wrath. Do you know that hell is pictured as a place where the fire does not die and the worm goes on biting? That what an awful place, and people choose to be burned. The accursed thing of Achan. Graven images when they are found and caught. And the people confess their sins and give up the idols, they are all burnt. But of course in Singapore, be careful, because it is a law that you don't violate and cause anger in the opposite party. When there is great abomination, and finally, God's lake of fire, where the worst offenders are thrown in, and they burn forever and ever. There is no reprieve, no escape. God doesn't deep freeze them. They say, we throw into a place deep frozen. No. It is a place of burning. And therefore, no believer should ever choose to be burned. Finally, unbelievers who die have no part in the first resurrection. Please remember the Bible verse, John's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 28-29. Marvel you not at this, that one day the dead in the graves will hear the voice of Jesus. And when Jesus calls, they will all come out. Those who come out first time are you and me, unto everlasting life. And the second group wait for 1,000 years later. They will still come out, except to face punishment in the lake of fire. How can we escape and avoid such terrible thing? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ now. This is my closing message, dear friends. I'm not telling you how to strike a lottery in Sentosa. I'm not telling you fairy tales. But this is what God's word says. Believe on the Lord Jesus and escape the burning that is to come. Meantime, make your plans to be buried. That's what I will do. I will prepare my own visual service. Yeah, that is good.
So let us look to God in prayer. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, may Thou speak to all of us here, that perchance there is someone who has never committed his life to the Lord Jesus, never come to the Savior for cleansing and forgiveness of sins, will do so tonight and be translated into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of life and eternal life. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a closing hymn.